father. Ah, so what is it? So we're saying over here the father. We're saying over here that there is another two positive commandments a person could transgress when they speak Lashon Hara. The first one is there's a special mitzvah that says B'tzedek tishpot amitecha. That what? That we're obligated by the Torah to judge every Jew's actions or words in a positive way. You answer, Philo? You have to judge everybody positively. It's a mitzvah deraisa. Right? Being down the kaf schos, judging someone favorably is not just like a nice thing. It's a mitzvah deraisa. It's a positive commandment. It says, B'tzedek tishpot amitecha. Vayikra 19:15. Which means even if a person is an average individual, someone who is neither righteous nor wicked, it's a mitzvah deraisa, positive commandment to judge him favorably. Now what happens? When we speak Lashon
Hara, who says whether he's righteous or
wicked? Chavetz Chaim says, even if he's a Beinoni,
yeah,
even if he's not the biggest tzaddik, we have a mitzvah deraisa to see if a person does a certain action to judge him favorably. I see a guy.
Complete Russia,
what does it say? He doesn't talk about it right
here. It wasn't like Rabbanis.
Yeah, but even then, but even that's the chiddush. But even then, you don't know exactly how. It's a shell. I had to learn exactly in what. I mean, not the meiser ra is good. Here's in the action itself. Fun. That's a different thing. Yeah, but now we're not talking about different general negotiation. And on a certain action, this guy just did.
I mean, say if someone's convicted.
So it's convicted
for a crime.
Right. Correct. But now if. He was an average person. I can't believe it. Yeah, but even focusing on this crime, I can't believe the media that this guy did it. You understand?
Especially if it's a non-Jewish court.
Yeah, sure, if it's a non-Jewish court. If the media says a certain Jew did something wrong, if he's sure he was an average Jew, I'm not allowed to believe that.
No, but like, I'll say, who's the former prime minister who was convicted, Olmert?
If he's a, I don't know if he's a Beinoni, if he's a Russian, then it's a big problem. But if he's a Beinoni, yeah, I don't know. But I'm saying a regular case. Here we're talking about a different point. He's also a label is coming on the. That's a different thing. That you should also try to find a place where he has a good point. The Russia has a good point. That will help them do tshuva. That's a different point. Now we're referring to a certain action he did. The guy did a specific action, right? So if he's a Beinoni, if he's an average Jew, you have to judge him favorably, right? If I see a guy coming and rolling into davening at 9:30, right? So if he's an average Jew, should we daven kaf schos, judge him favorably? Maybe he had a hard time sleeping, or maybe he ready daven sikkin, he's just putting on a bit of tefillin, or maybe there's a lot of things who I could judge him favorably. But my mitzvah deraisa, positive commands, is to judge him favorably, which means if we search for this first bark of Lashon Hara, as it begins to develop in a person's mind, we define it in the part of the brain that makes judgments. Yeah, hello? Where does Lashon Hara start? Where does it spark of me speaking Lashon Hara about somebody else? Hasha. It sparks, where does it start? In the part of the brain that makes judgments. Because every day, many times a day, each of us observe other people's actions. We could choose to judge those actions positively or negatively. For many people, maybe not in this room, the first response is to judge negatively. And that's where Lashon Hara comes from. That's the problem. So when someone's speaking Lashon Hara, you know they're just expressing their unfavorable judgment of somebody. That's what Lashon Hara is. If someone's speaking Lashon Hara, most scenarios you don't know exactly the story what happened. You're not sure. So I'm basically expressing an unfavorable judgment about somebody. I judge them unfavorably. I judge them that he's doing something wrong. And then I'm saying, speaking about it. So by speaking Lashon Hara, I'm transgressing the positive commandment of judging someone favorably. And Chavetz Chaim explains, judging someone favorably does not mean being naive, right? In fact, it means thinking on a more sophisticated level. In most cases, we gather the fact that look beneath the surface, many of our negative impressions of other people's behavior stem from misunderstandings. Which means being dalgas chos isn't being naive, saying, oh, I see this guy stop putting on a smell at 10 o'clock and he's trying to daven chakras. So you think being naive is to say, right? You think that means to say he's not davening chakras. No, he is davening chakras now. But I'm thinking much deeper. But maybe a lot of different scenarios happen while he's davening now. So it's.
Maybe he's not even davening and I just put it on a bit of time.
Yeah, maybe we're just running a bit of time. So if you're thinking deeper, right? Being davening chakras supposed to mean to go deeper. That doesn't mean to think more shallow. Being judging someone favorably is the Torah demands of us to think deeper. Oh, that also, Another issue could be that sometimes when we speak Lashon Hara, it could cause economic damage. Right? It could employees not to be hired, loans not to be issued, and stores not to be patronized. If someone tells me a certain clothing store is overpriced, it's almost certain I will not shop there. A seemingly harmless remark has caused real financial harm to that storekeeper. Obviously, there are exceptions. There are times when it is allowed and even mandatory to warn others about possible economical harm. This will be discussed in the section regarding Toelis, negative statements that serve a constructive purpose later in this volume. When economic damage is the outcome of Lashon Hara, the commandment of Echei Achicha Imach has been violated. Which means, and it says, the pasuk says, and you, your brother, shall live with you. Which is a positive command to help someone else out of business. Find them a job, help them start a business, right? The Torah's intent is for us to strengthen our fellow Jews' situation since it does not fall into economic straits. And to hurt someone's financial standing through Lashon Hara is violating this mitzvah. So, speaking Lashon Hara could be transgressing the command, positive command of Betzedek Tishpat Amitecha, which is to judge everyone favorably. And secondly, it could also go against the Chei Achicha Imach, which says you shall help your brother and do business with him and help him financially. If this ruins him financially, then it's a derisive.
So let's say, Tony Kozovsky says, that market by your house, you shop there. You say yes. He says, well, how is it? What would you say? Let's say it really is an overpriced place, or really is a place. What would you say? Would you say there's other places around that I prefer to go to, or
so that's the first option. But really, if you keep all seven conditions of the Ellis, which we'll speak on later on, if all seven conditions are met to speak Lashon Hara for constructive purpose, then you can tell her we'll have to learn all the seven conditions.
You also keep the focus on the place. I buy, fruits and vegetables here, but I like to get them over here because generally it's more affordable over there.
I don't think you say that.
Focus on the last place.
Right, you could also, right, you don't say this guy is overpriced. A lot of times it's not true. This guy isn't overpriced. It's just the other guys are cheaper. The other big chain stores are cheaper. Usually, anyway, every Makola is more overpriced than a regular store. And that's what Makola is. They it's a small place. He's going to give you on credit. If it's convenient, he's near your house. It's a convenience store. It's going to be much more expensive. He orders much less. The reality is he orders much less stuff than the bigger stores. He's not a big chain store. He gets them more expensive. And most of the time they do deliveries. And they give you credit. Makolas are automatically more expensive. So that's meaning every person knows automatically if you go to Makola over a regular big super, you're going to be charged more. So you have to be careful.
Being that that's a general rule,
tell us Makola.
It's hard to tell someone, clothes are generally more expensive. You have to go to Makola. There's a supermarket a block further.
That's fine. I mean, if you're not telling you that this guy's, also you're not telling you this guy's overpriced, tell you in general, also you're not telling him, you say in general, there's the rule. That sounds fine. I'm telling you in general, big stores are cheaper. Just the guy doesn't know the system. Because there's no difference, the store here, the store there.
So overpriced means over 20%? Or just means over the normal?
That depends, that's what you have to be careful when talking to people. If you tell a guy he's overpriced, I mean, very overpriced. You have to be very careful when we speak.
As a general rule, a convenience store is anywhere from 20 to 30% overpriced because of the volume. Okay. And
it's not called overpriced.
Just by category.
Right, but you have to realize it's not called overpriced. It's from our quality. That's the normal. That's the normal. If you he's overpriced, considering I'm comparing to our regulars, so be very careful. If you guys said, "How's this Makola?" and say he's overpriced, it's not true. It's not fair. He's not overpriced. For Makola, he's doing a great job. Maybe he gets a lot of sales.
But as a Makola or convenience store in the States,
right? No,
you just simply cannot get the discounts because you're not dealing directly with the major suppliers.
That's true, but you should.
Because, for example, Coca-Cola, I could not go to Coca-Cola and buy a van full of Coca-Cola.
Right.
I would have to go through Smart and Final, or I would have to go through...
Why would you want to buy Coca-Cola? Why would you want to buy Coca-Cola?
I'm giving an example. Because when I was running a convenience store, that was the most popular thing, especially during the summer. So I would stock... I had a garage... full of Coca-Cola, top to ceiling. And it was like 120 degrees in San Fernando. Yeah, so just from practical experience. Also, convenience stores, the rule of thumb is a third of the price is inventory, a third of the price is labor, and a third of the price is miscellaneous. And the miscellaneous is extremely expensive, especially rent. Stores don't have a large percentage of their profit going to rent, whereas a convenience store in McCulloch does.
Right.
So what's that have to do with this?
So therefore, you shouldn't say Lashon Hara that a McCulloch is expensive, but it's normal, it's supposed to be expensive. That was what Rabbi Yaakov was trying to tell us. That's the halacha that comes out of Rabbi Yaakov's shir. That there is Lashon Hara. So don't say the McCulloch is overpriced, that's Lashon Hara.
From just practical experience running a snack bar for 12 years.
I have an additional class.
Yeah. Oh.
Where do you get Pepsi from?
Pepsi, I got through Smart and Final, or else I got it through a different wholesaler.
So it's easier or more helpful?
We're going to have at what's with 12 o'clock, a few minutes before George Shea to ask all the shilas.
Let's go.
Yeah, we're trying to start the mission. Fine. Let's see the Gemara, the Mishnah. Let's see this Mishnah again. Hazari, Baruch Hashem, I was there, but a good chavrusa today, so maybe I'll be clear today. Hazari, what's the Mishnah say? Hazari, Evan Lemshus Harabim. Someone threw a stone into Rishus Harabim. He's throwing stones into the street. So we'll see in the Gemara exactly what's up with this guy, what exactly got into his head.
What page are you on?
Probably
not. No, he's a Jew. He was Chetz Amidah. Well, besides Marcus Chesam, now the new Mishnah. You got Rav Hillel.
Eight lines
the
down.
New Mishnah.
Mishnah.
8 lines down, it says Mishnah. It says Masnisa.
So you have 7D?
8A.
8A, okay.
Hazarik Evan Rosh Hashanah. Someone who throws a stone into Rosh Hashanah, into a public area, right? It doesn't have to be actually, like Rav Hillel talked, it doesn't actually have to be Rosh Hashanah, 600,000 people walk by every day. It means a public area, a Derek Rav, where people walk. Got that? Fine. Hareza, hey, I don't know if it's Hareza, Harezu. Hareza, guy, look, this guy goes to Golis. That's halacha. You kill someone by mistake, you go to Golis. Now, what's the chiddush in this case? The Gemara is going to say it's a very big chiddush because the Gemara is going to ask if anything should be, he's negligent. If you're taking stones, throwing it into a big street, you should be negligent. Why is that considered a mistake? It's true you didn't hit a guy head on purpose, but your action is an action of trying to kill somebody. You're doing an action of killing people. A purpose, you're doing it on purpose, trying to throw stones. So we'll see in the Gemara exactly what the Gemara is going to try to figure out what the scenario is, why you should be only go to Golis, why we're considering it that it was a mistake. That's halacha number one. Halacha number two, Lezmi Yaakov Oimer, Imik She Yatzah Evan Miyadek. If after the stone left this thrower's hand,
Rabbi Lazar,
if from when the stone left the thrower's hand, Haitzi Halah, this person stuck out as Reisha his head, the Kibla, and he accepted it into his head, Hareze Pata, the guy threw it, and after it left his hand, the other guy, he hears people screaming in the streets, he sticks his head out the window to see what happens, and then it hits him in the head. Right? Some guy's throwing stones into Rosh Hashanah, and everybody starts screaming. This guy wants to see what's going on. He sticks his head out his window. The next thing he knows, hit him in the head. But it hit him in the head after he stuck his, first the guy threw it, then after he stuck his head in. Which means, the stone didn't find the guy's head. The guy's head found the stone. That's what the Gemara is going to say. The Pasuk says, Matzah Esrei, the Gemara is going to say, the Pasuk says, if I threw a stone and it hit, and the stone found your head, since you were there the whole time, the stone found you, then it's my fault. But if your head found the stone, because the stone was flying on its own, and then you stuck your head out, it's a bit, you had a bad day, it's probably your last bad day.
Skila,
so he was chayiv skila. He must have had to die in skila, this guy, but then the other guy did not have to go to Golis, because not your, since that time, see, he's saying, you have to die in skila. This guy, Rabbi Yisrael, is right. This guy was supposed to die in Skila. It wasn't a mistake. Hashem made him stick his head out exactly. But he gets Skila, and the guy doesn't even go to Golis. He stuck his head out at the wrong time. Oh, fine. That's the second case. That's where it was when Yaakov's Kiddush. Fine. Now, third halacha. Going through the next halacha one by one. Zarak es ha'evim l'chatzeret. Let's say the guy is throwing stones into his own chatzer. Oh, sorry, it says lechatzer. His own courtyard, his own backyard is throwing stones. He's doing it, man. Reb Ruben is here, he's doing them, the landscape, he's making throwing the stones, he's chucking stones to the other side. But how are you going to kill somebody? Then it depends. If you go to Gaul Shah. If Yeshua's Nizik Lakanas Lasham, if the Nizik, the damaged, has permission to enter there, then Gola, then the thrower, the killer, goes to Gaulus. Why? Because you should have been more responsible. It was by mistake, it's true. But you know other people, you give people permission to walk through your lawn. So if you killed by accident, you got to do real tshuva, you got to go to Gaulus. The Imlav, if this other person didn't belong, you're just trespassing. Indigo, you don't go to Gaulus. It's not my fault. I don't have to be looking all the time. Some guy is trespassing my lawn. I'm chucking stones. So it's his fault. I don't go to Gaulus. I'm an Inus. It was impossible. There's no way to know. I had no reason to believe someone was walking through my lawn. Therefore, I would not go to Gaulus. Shinerot, the Pasuk says, Vasha Yava Israel Ehu Bayat. The Pasuk says, you were chopping wood and they killed the guy. What does it say? It says that your friend was also going in the bar. Mahaya Arish. So we want to take an example of a terrorist case. Just like a forest. Who belongs in the forest? Everybody. So it's what I do. Everyone belongs in the forest. I belong in the forest. You belong there. So since we all belong in the forest, so therefore I have to be responsible when I'm chopping wood, make sure no one's talking to Hashem, walking under me, pacing back and forth, singing to Hashem, playing guitar. I have to be careful that no one's under my tree that I'm chopping. That's how
it is.
Anyway, that we both have permission to be there. If it's a college, we both have permission to be there. Yeah, so see, if we say, if even if it's in my own yard, we're both supposed to be there, then I have to go to Gaulus.
That's what we're learning now from Yar.
Yeah.
Learning out from Yar is that both the damager and the damaged have permission to be there. So if they're not in a situation of Yar, in any other situation that they're both allowed to be there, it remains.
Oh. So, right, see, I'm only the killer only goes to Gaulus if they both have permission to be there. He knew this guy could be around. There was no way for him to know there's another guy hanging around over here. He killed him by mistake. You don't go to Gaulus. Because it's not your fault. How are you supposed to know? Guy's walking out. I'm chopping my tree. And I have no way to reason to believe someone who's walking
on. If you have reasonable signs out saying danger, do not enter, and a reasonable barricade.
But who? Fine, then again, that's the same scenario. Then he shouldn't be there. So if the other guy is trespassing and it doesn't belong here, even if I didn't have any barricades, no signs, it's my property, you don't belong to my property. And you got killed, the other guy, too bad. You don't belong on my property. That you can't, why am I off the hook? So you can't make me responsible for a situation I did it, there's no way for me to know about. I have no way of knowing this, and there's no reason that some guy should be trespassing my lawn. Then, it's not my fault that I killed somebody. It's not my fault. It's not, oh, you should have been more careful when you chop your tree. It's not my responsibility to be more careful. It's the other guy's responsibility not to be walking on my lawn. Fine. Now, where do we look at the pasuk in the Torah? It says your friend is coming to Yah. My Yah is just lanizik ulamazik lakanizlisham. Just like a forest, it's a scenario, it's a place where the damager and the damagee have permission to enter. I've called to do every scenario where there's permission, lanizik ulamazik lakanizlisham, for the damager and the damagee to enter there. There, that's when the killer will go to Gaulus. Yatza, which was Yatza, means the exclusion. The exclusion of what's case? The exclusion of a case of a chatzar ba'al habayis. Let's say it's a courtyard of a homeowner. It's my courtyard. She'em is just lenizik. Let's just say lenizik for now, without parentheses. That the nizik, lekadoshim, the guy who got damaged had no right to be walking on my lawn. Right, Rabbilo? Doesn't belong on my lawn. Then, I don't go to Gaulus.
Isn't it marked, though? Since it's a ba'al habayis chatzar, it doesn't have a chance to be there.
No, because the first case of the Mishnah was it's my chatzar, but he does have permission to be there. It was the first case. We said the second case. We said, there you go, it's the rabbi, and you get it. Go. Well, it was Lazim and Yaakov's case.
I'm sorry, can we back up real quick? It said Yashar Yavo as him and his friend going to the forest, and just like, I hear, just like the forest that has. Is a neutral place for a shoes?
Code for a
to the amateur and the amateur.
To enter the Kaddishah, to enter there. And that's a scenario where the Torah says you get Gaulus. Right?
They enter there,
So feel like they have permission to enter there.
Ah, okay.
It means you have to read Rishus. Just like the Yah Rishus, there's permission.
So it's saying it's a neutral place, so the damager damaging can enter, and it's a neutral place, which is going to have unique status to it because of its public and
it's neutral. Because then if I'm the killer, I should have been more careful not to kill anybody walking around underneath.
And this is Yatzei Chatzer.
Yatzei, the exclusion.
Exclude.
Of a case of, it's
a private place.
Right. And there's no rishus, there's no permission for the nizik.
The aim issues, right?
The nizik, there's no rishus, there's no permission for the nizik, for the damager to be there.
To enter, right.
So therefore, it's not my responsibility. I'm not supposed to, it's not my responsibility to know a guy might be trespassing. Therefore, when I'm chopping my wood,
fine.
I have to scream timber every 2 minutes.
Right.
Now make sure a guy knows I'm chopping down a tree. It's his, so therefore, I don't go to Galus. It's his fault for walking my property. He's trespassing.
Fine. Okay. L'shem Avah Shoal.
L'sha. Hurry. No, read it again. She'in Rishus Arav L'nizik. She'in Rishus L'nizik. There's no permission for the damage. L'kanis L'sha. To enter L'sha over there.
Period.
Now, thank next case. Comes Abishal and said, the new halacha one after another, Abishal. Whacking out halacha. Spitting out.
Got it.
Abishal. I'm Abishal. So what does Abishal say? Abishal says, "Oh, holy chesed out of the Marcus, whoever wants to check them on the fancy machines." Abishal says, "What's Abishal say? Machatavas eitzit." So he's learning, understanding, taking another example for the scenario the Torah gave, and he's going to say the Torah specifically in this scenario. Just like what was the Torah's case? What happened? A guy was chopping wood, right? What was the Torah scenario? A guy was chopping a tree in a farm. So just like the Torah scenario was, someone was chopping a tree. And that was not obligatory. There's no mitzvah in the Torah. You have to chop a tree. Right? Unless there are a certain case that there is a mitzvah to chop a tree. But in a normal scenario, the Shem SLM, if you were. But in a normal scenario, the Torah's case was the guy was not chopping for a mitzvah. He wasn't chopping for the Shem. He wasn't chopping for. Right? The Rabbi said, the Shem said, we say the Torah's case was you were chopping wood for a personal use. Maybe the Torah was talking about a case where you're chopping. Maybe the Gemara is going to ask chopping wood for the sukkah or for whatever or for
the
personal. You might say fine. The pasuk sounds like a regular scenario. Guys don't go to chop wood for his fireplace. So just like the Torah scenario was, you're chopping wood for your own personal reasons. I've called to do every scenario. Why would a person go to Galus when he kills someone by mistake? Rishus when he was chopping for his own personal reasons. Yata the exclusion of ha'av, a father of makas, but now he's hitting his child, which is a mitzvah to lead him on the true path. Or Harav, a Rebbe, a Rebbe this time, he's also like trying to straighten out his Talmud. Or Shliach Bestin, the messenger for Bestin, who was giving lashes and he killed someone under the belt, they thought he could have no more. Only keeps the mitzvah, you don't go to Galus. The Torah does not mean, so when do you need a kapara to go to Galus? If you're chopping your own personal, you know, you're doing your hobby, you like to chop trees, then, and you kill somebody, then you gotta go to Galus. If you're in the middle of doing an act of the mitzvah, you kill someone just by mistake, the Torah doesn't demand you to go get a kapara in Galus. That's Allah.
So what happens?
What happened? You need to do your own tshuva. You need to go to the forest, to your own, without chopping trees, put down your sword, start talking to Hashem and crying and do tshuva on your own. But you don't have to get exiled into for the rest until the Kohen Gadol dies. It can be for a very long time sometimes. You don't have to spend the rest of your life in Ari Mikla away from society, away from your regular scenario.
So going to Golos is more severe
than? No. So it's not. So then what we learned in Gemara Daf Beis is that if someone kills on purpose, we kill them. Why don't we send it to Galus? That's not enough of a kapara for you. Right?
Yeah.
If someone's killed by mistake, and it was their fault, and they should have been more careful, then they get a severe punishment. It's a favor for him. So you can get a kapara in this world, but it's a pretty severe favor. It's like putting it away for a couple of years.
Can all these people still avenge their death? Their relatives avenge their death?
No, one thing the army claims is that their safety.
No, I'm saying they don't go to the army claims. You say that they don't go to Golos. So all these cases where they don't go to Golos.
No, if you don't go to Golos, no claims to go to Golos. No, then it means that no, you don't have the whole partial army claims on you. The whole thing doesn't apply to you.
This at all. The whole thing can't avenge the relatives.
Yeah, that's the past. Yeah, the relatives. Yeah.
And basically, he's got no redemption in this war. He's got to wait until he dies.
Which guy?
If he does not able to do Golos.
Good, but it sounds like it's easier for him to do his tshuva. The guy in Golos means the only way you can possibly do tshuva. The Torah giving you prescription is you got to go to Gala, sit with the Levim. We're learning Torah. They're going to try to lead you on the straight path and you keep on doing a lot of tshuva over there in Ari Mikla and come back. This other guy, he didn't do something so bad. So it's possible you go to the forest, do a couple times, 6 hours, and you'll be good to go. I mean, that's the difference. So the guy in Ari Mikla, there's no, you need heavy duty tshuva. So the only way we know possibly you're going to do tshuva is if you go to Gala, The Torah's prescription is, he's lucky. The Torah gives a prescription. Your medication is to fix your neshama. You got to go to Ari Mikla, go to Gauls until the Kai Gadol dies. The other guy, he didn't do so bad. So you could do, it's like everybody, we all do Averis. So you go, you do your tshuva like a regular person does tshuva. You don't have to go to super duper tshuva pro. You don't have to go like, you know, like TA. You don't have to go like Tshuva Anonymous and like, and what's it called? In Ari Mikla. You do it on your own, you'll figure it out. You come to your drawer, share him a few times, you'll figure it out.
But if you're not responsible because it's your own private property and he's trespassing.
Then also, it's true, Hashem made it happen, made me kill somebody. So I have to do tshuva on my own level. Again, you don't have to go to TA to do tshuva over there with all the Levian teaching me how to do tshuva and doing a lot of tshuva over there in the gulfs. I have to do my own tshuva. Hashem made me kill somebody, I have to do tshuva. Someone's in a car accident, Chas Shalom, and kill somebody, I have to do tshuva. If Hashem made you kill somebody, you kill somebody. Doesn't mean we're going to punish you. Doesn't mean the best is going to punish you. Everything we do something wrong. We have to do tshuva.
And the relatives can't take any action.
Right, the relatives can't take action. It's like any other avera. Of course, there's no gadol. Doesn't mean you're off. Doesn't mean you're a tzaddik. It means you're a regular person. You've got a regular prescription. Go do your hour a day and try to do tshuva. Good. Bless you to Gemara. Is anyone?
Excited. Let's go.
We're just a rabbin. What was the first case in our Mishnah? Usually, Gemara, when we're starting, we just like open up. Usually, we're going referring to the back where we go like in sequence of the Mishnah. When the Gemara like throws you right away, there's just a question. You should assume we're going back to the first thing we said in the Mishnah. Got that? So, also, I think Gemara just says, we're just a rabbin. Amazing, who you're amazing. What's this talking about? It's referring to the first case of the Mishnah. Go back to the first case of the Mishnah. What did the Mishnah say? Hazarik Evel just a rabbin. Someone's throwing stones at Rosh Hashanah rabbin. Laharag, he kills somebody. How is it going? You go to Golos. That's what you're talking about. If a guy's sitting and throwing stones at Rosh Hashanah rabbin, that's not, and he killed somebody, that's not called killing somebody by accident. Rosh Hashanah rabbin, amazing. It's called amazing. It's true, I didn't aim for a guy's head, actually. I wasn't aiming for a guy's head. But if you're throwing things, that means you're negligently killing people. Right? You're sitting there, standing in front of a street, shooting your gun, and car passes by, oh, it's a mistake. It's not a mistake. That's called on purpose. So how can the Mishnah say, you throw stones, you just rob him, it's considered a mistake, so you should go to Golos to do tshuva. That's not a mistake, that's amazing. You're throwing stones at the public area, people are walking by. That's not called a shay. It's not called killing someone by mistake. What do you say, Rabbi Aaron?
It's called Arab
as well. Called Arab. You're throwing stones.
You're reading my mind.
So you're amazing, right? You say every Arab guy should say, is a shaygig? Oh, he's killed by mistake, it's not his fault. Be nice to him, let him go. Every terrorist, it's a shaggy, because I didn't know which guy I was going to climb. I just blew myself over the street, so it was a mistake. I didn't know anybody was going to pass by.
Why not just fly over and carpet bomb them?
Could do that also. But what I'm saying, yeah, Rosh Hashanah rabbin.
Bumper sticker. Throw a rock at a bull.
Rosh Hashanah rabbin. Amazing. Why are you saying he's going to Golos? Why are you saying he shouldn't go to Golos? That's considered amazing. Why is this guy shaking? Why is it a mistake? You're throwing rocks into a street.
So he intentionally did it.
Yes, it's not an accident. It's intentional. Yes, so why did the Mishnah say it's a mistake? Go to Golos. The Mishnah said no. It's a specific scenario. Amar Rav Shua bar Yitzchak, Besaiser es, he's knocking down his wall. He's not intentionally throwing rocks. He's not some guy waiting at the, you know, at the traffic light throwing stones at the next car that's passing by. It's not the story. The guy is
snowballs.
That's not the story.
Yeah, with rocks in them.
Right, with snows, rocks in them. Even regular snowballs. Not the guy. It could be also the guy throwing snowballs, kill someone for shaking. If you threw a kill somebody, it's not a shaking. It's amazing. If you throw a snowball, so you kill
him. How about someone firing off grad missiles from Gaza?
It's also amazing. It's amazing. So you say no. The case is
you're knocking down your snowman.
Oh, so that's a wise case. But Caesar is Christ. He's knocking down his wall.
And the carrot flies out of his nose.
And the carrot flies out of his nose. Guy.
Here's the story he's checking me.
Oh, that could be, if the carrot flies out of his nose, it's we said yesterday, three is not, there's no, gold. It's machloikas. It was the carrot. Let's say it was the snowball itself.
Or it was the bite.
It's also kaif. But if it was the head itself, the guy's knocking down his wall, or a snowman. Everybody here likes the snowman. And he's whacked the snow thing with the bat and went flying into Rosh Hashanah rabbin and hit a guy's windshield and hit a guy and killed him. Right? Then,
right,
what I was
so
saying.
It's a windshield, and this is not considered.
It's also a grandma. We also just kind of friends. That's
the
not
windshield
a
killed him.
the windshield kills, they also be kind of crashed. It's not so similar. But anyway, our case is head on. Didn't hit any cars. The guy was walking by. The guy is knocking down his wall, right? And it's not a mitzvah because the Rebbe said told me, let's say there's a mitzvah, a person has a shaky wall and it's sakana to the fall. There's a mitzvah to knock it down. So again, we just said in the Mishnah, if you're doing a mitzvah, you don't go to galus. So Rabbi Yosef over here told me to make sure that the case that you were knocking down the wall, it's not a mitzvah to knock down the wall. Because a mitzvah, if there's a shaky wall, it's dangerous for people, it's a mitzvah to knock down the wall. So we just said in the Mishnah, if you're knocking down and doing a mitzvah, you don't go to galus. So here, you're knocking down not for a mitzvah. For the mitzvah, you want to go to galus? Right? You hear Rabbi Yosef? It's the chiddush of the day. Make sure you knock down not for a mitzvah. So you're knocking down your wall. It's not a mitzvah, and it hits a fly, the stone hits again. There is a case that sometimes, it's not a
mitzvah.
If it would be a mitzvah, we just said at the end of the minute, if it's a mitzvah, you don't go to God. You never go to God.
Wait, you mean
the
knocks down a wall and Rishu Sarabim doesn't go to
God? If I was knocking down a wall, it's a mitzvah to knock down the wall for whatever reason. Let's say there's Sarabim.
He's going to sell the property and make a profit out, which is not a mitzvah.
Not a mitzvah.
He's clearing the property out.
No, I'm saying if it was a mitzvah, you wouldn't go to God. Forget about it. Don't forget about mitzvah. Forget about it. Scratch. No, it's not anymore. I'm giving an example. Based on the knowledge that we have.
The Mishnah ended if you're doing a mitzvah, then you would go to Gol.
Your Rizah says you make sure to speak out that it's not a mitzvah. That's what Rizah is telling me, that it's not a mitzvah. When you're knocking this wall, it's not a mitzvah. If it was a mitzvah, you wouldn't go to Gol.
Why?
Because that was the last case of the Mishnah. What was the last case of the Mishnah? If you're
the rabbi, the father,
again, so what the Gemara says, you're knocking down the wall. So Gemara said, what do you mean? What's the difference? The Gemara said, you should have looked. What type of excuse is that? I was knocking down my wall. If you're knocking down a wall into a public area, it's not called, it's still a negligence. Make sure, scream out, put a sign, make sure no one's walking behind you, hit next time. Put a policeman standing there. Put a policeman, make sure to put a guy there telling no one to walk by. Gemara says, Balayla, it was at night time. Gemara says, still, who cares? But not anybody later. So look, when you're knocking at your wall, make sure no one's behind your wall. It's a public area. It's your fault if you kill somebody. What's your these excuses aren't helping him. Mara says, Besides this, la ashpa. He was knocking at his wall into a ashpa, which means we are into like a bathroom. It's like a garbage area, which is a public bathroom. So Mara says, what's the scenario? Ish chichi barabim, if it's common for people to use this bathroom, Pasher, you're negligent. You're knocking your wall into a place. Still, you're throwing stones into a place. It's a bathroom. It's negligent. Eloi shlichi bo rabim. If it's not a rabim, it's not a public area. It's not normal for the rabim, the masses to pass by there. Einus, or you're an einus. How are you supposed to know people are passing? You might say, what's your scenario? If it's a public bathroom, and you're throwing stones there, you're negligent. Right? If it's not used, never used to abandon that, so you're honest, you killed somebody. So what's your scenario? What's your scenario that it's considered when you threw stone into this bathroom, you're a shaykh? If there are people use it, again, you're a pesheya, you're negligent. If nobody uses it, you're off the hook. What's your scenario that it's considered a level of mistake? Okay, the kasha chana? Good? So why is Amar Papa Latricha Ella La Ashpa? What's the case? We're hoping in a scenario like ashpa into a garbage or like a bathroom, ha'asui, which was made with panis ba, who want to relieve themselves balayla in the nighttime, the ain asuya, and it was not made with panis ba bayayim. Like maybe it could be in a more public area. This bathroom was made to use only at nighttime, not in the daytime. That's the way it was made. So now, Bahwa, the Ika, the Mikri, there is scenarios, there are times, the Yasa, the Ika, the Mikri, the Yasa. There are times, once in a while, people use this in the daytime. Usually it's a public bathroom only for nighttime, but sometimes people use it in the daytime. So, Pashe, he's not negligent for throwing stones into this bathroom area, the hub, because, Eina Asuya, it's not made, Lefanis Babayayim, it's not made to enter it in the daytime, to empty, relieve itself in the daytime.
Wait, sometimes posher. What's it? Yasi?
Yeah.
What is Yasi?
Someone was sitting there.
When?
The Ika, the Mikri. It says, the Inas of the Bazriyan. The Ika, the Mikri. There are times the Yasa that someone sits there in the daytime. It's not made to sit there in the daytime. The Ika, the Mikri. There are scenarios So yes, someone does sit there in the daytime.
Oh, that's related to the last statement.
Yeah.
Okay.
Again, so read again. Garbage. Ha'asuya l'fanis ba'balayla. It's made to for one to relieve themselves at the nighttime. The ain asuya l'fanis ba'bayim. And it's not made to relieve themselves in the daytime. However, the ikki the mikri, there are scenarios. The yotze that someone and there is a scenario that someone is sitting there. There is like a mikri, the mikri that happened, and someone was sitting there. Right?
Why isn't that for sure?
Well, that is Hoshea. Come. Now, more come. Hoshea, it's not called negligence. To ha'ena asuya, because it's not made. Lipanis babayayim, to relieve himself of the daytime.
So you don't have to check, is that the point?
Yeah, so you don't have the check. However, but, ainas nami layavi, you're not either considered ainas, you should be off top totally. So, ikid mikriyas, there are tons of someone sits there. So, we want to say, what's the scenario that you're throwing rocks into a public place and you consider that it's just a mistake? Right? That was our question, right? The Mishnah says someone's throwing stones into a public area, you go to Ka'ari Miklat because there's a mistake. You go to God's mistake. What's that scenario? So we're saying, so the scenario is the following. It's a place where usually only people go there at night time, right? And usually there's nobody there in the daytime. So if I was throwing rocks there, I'm not negligent for killing somebody, because usually no one's there in the daytime. I am Ainus. No. Since once in a while there are people who are there at the daytime, it's a little bit my fault. I should have been a little bit careful. So it's this in-between stage where it's not, I'm not negligent for killing somebody, but I'm not totally off the hook because I should have turned my brain on a little to check because maybe someone's there. So that scenario is considered that I killed someone by mistake. And that's the scenario where you throw a stone into a public area by mistake, then you go to Galus. That's the answer. Good. We were trying to figure out what's the scenario. If you throw rocks into the street, you're pashe, you're negligent. It's not a mistake, it's on purpose. You want to answer? No. And you're in an area where people only walk at night, and almost never are there people walking in the daytime, being there. But sometimes there is. So it's a little bit negligence on my part. That's called a mistake. I should have checked first to make sure no one was there.
So you say he does go to
Galus. He does go to Galus.
But
how does it say that in the Gemara? What does it say that?
No, because that was our case. The Mishnah said you go to Galus. Our Mishnah says you go to Galus. Our Gemara asks, why do you go to Galus? You're amazing.
So the Gemara, this whole Gemara is explained in the very first part of the Mishnah as to why the Mishnah stating went to Galus, even though it was like a half qualification, so to speak.
What do you mean, a half qualification?
Was it so obvious? It was like half, it was...
What do you mean, very obvious. The Mishnah says you go to Galus. The Gemara said, why, what happened, you go to Galus? You're amazing.
And then it brings in this thing that's next to, it's not a mitzvah, it's next to a public place, but it's not a public place, but it's only at nighttime, it's daytime, so it's very upset.
Fine, no, we're trying to figure out the case. We're trying to figure out what's the case of the Mishnah that said you go to Galus. So hold on one train of thought. What's the Mishnah's case that when you kill him, just a rabbi, it's considered you killed by mistake? How is the scenario? So we're trying to get a bunch of options this way, that way. No, we said this is not a mistake, this is negligent, that this is an onion. What's the case? We're trying to find the case that's considered when you kill someone who's a rabbi, that's considered a mistake. It's not considered a negligence, it's not considered an onion.
We're saying the ambiguity of the word zorek. That's what the whole thing, the problem was, you know, right?
So what's the problem?
No, it sounds like the guy threw it deliberately. That was the whole thing we got from him.
He did. Point is, he did throw it. But where did he throw it?
He did throw it deliberately, but the situation is such and such.
That's the Machlokes Rishonim. If the Gemara means to say, the way the Rabbi Hanan and the Yushami, they learn is that the case is so. Say the guy is knocking on a wall, and the stone went flying into this bathroom, which is a public bathroom at night, and not usually used during the daytime. Taisus learns the Gemara was redoing the case. The case is nothing to do with knocking down a wall. According to Taisus, the case is the guy is throwing it, and he's throwing it into this public. Private, I don't know, it's public bathroom that's not really used during the daytime. Let's see Rashi. We have like two or three Rashi. What's Rashi? Lefun is on the Gemara, Lefun is fun. People empty themselves. Rashi said, B'nai Adam, people in the Kveim, they empty their
bladders.
Bladders.
It's
their holes. No.
Oh, it's every hole.
But the Ika the Mikri, what did I say? Sometimes by yam, sometimes during the daytime, people use it to go to the bathroom there. So there, that's considered a shaykh. If someone threw a stone into such an area, that's a mistake, and that's the case of going to Arya Mikla. Shkaya, so tomorrow we're going to try to keep on pushing further in the Gemara. Shkaya.
So we're in 8A. Yeah.